Now, it's an old debate, but just as tense. Who has overriding primary care or duty? The parents of a baby who is in need of heart surgery are requesting that he only receives unvaccinated blood during the operation. So what happens legally here? Barrister Simon Judd is with us on this. Simon, morning to you.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Is the law fairly clear on this?
It is, yeah. Under the Care of Children Act, a judge can appoint the court as a guardian if necessary, in the best interests of the child. So in a scenario like this, where the medical specialist is saying that this child needs heart surgery and a blood transfusion is a part of that, the judge can appoint the court as the guardian temporarily, just for the purposes of the surgery and medical care. I mean, the parents remain guardians in all other aspects of the child's life.
How often do you see a case like this?
It's pretty unusual. As you may be aware, these cases often come up in the context of people with religious beliefs. Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, don't believe in blood transfusion. So there have been a couple of cases. It's more challenging in the sense that there is a conflicting right, if you like, Mike, and that everyone's got a right to freedom of religion in this country under the Bill of Rights Act. So the court has to take that into account. This particular one where, as I understand it from the media, that the parents are saying that they don't want blood from people who've been vaccinated. It doesn't appear to be based on any religious belief. So that factor is taken out of the equation here.
Do you set a whole new precedent here if you're just arguing COVID or vaccination or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the media report, the thing I thought was most interesting is I saw the parents are saying that they have got 20 people who are unvaccinated who are willing to give blood or something.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't know. All I know is what I read in the media. No doubt there'll be evidence before the judge about that. I suspect, though, that the judge is likely to look at it and say, well, there still has to be some evidential basis for this. You know, that you can't just say, I don't like this blood because I don't like COVID vaccinations. You know, if all the medical evidence is that actually the blood of a vaccinated person doesn't even contain the vaccine, or the vaccine is pretty much gone, which, again, from the media appears to be the case, I think it would be setting a pretty dangerous precedent if the judge was to go along with the parents.
But because you could, and they, I'm assuming, will come up and say, we're here to A, object, and B, solve our own problem, and here's that line of 20 people who haven't been vaccinated, they will supply the blood, so problem solved. And that would put the judge in a fairly awkward position, wouldn't it?
Exactly. It will be a balancing exercise, but you know, it'll be very interesting to see. But I mean, I would have thought that if the overwhelming evidence is that there is no rational basis, there is no genuine basis for a fear that the blood even contains the vaccine anymore. I mean, as I understand it, the vaccine pretty much dissipates. It's more all your blood does is it continues to contain a reaction, you know, the antibodies that protect you from COVID. So, you know, I would have thought that what the judge would be very concerned about is if they allow parents in this scenario to do a self-help remedy, it's creating a precedent
very
for anyone who comes along for any kind of reason. Yeah.
Age of the child have anything to do with it at any point? I mean, certainly at 12, 13, 14, something would come into play, presumably, wouldn't it?
Yes, certainly the views of the child themselves might be taken into account when they are that sort of age. But it's more 16 child will, or 18 in fact, I think, if the child will have the right to decide for themselves.
Interesting stuff. Simon, appreciate it as always. Simon Judd, barrister with us this morning.
Shared Lunch is your chance to see behind the share price of the companies you invest in.
I'm not sure that 2024 will be a year that people remember fondly.
Hear from CEOs and experts with a fresh take on what's happening in the markets here and abroad.
There are a number of reasons that you might hold Bitcoin. It's often described as digital gold.
Shared Lunch from Sharesies with Business Desk.
You know, the World Bank is reported as saying that we're probably 3 years into five very difficult years. Where are the opportunities for people here?
When it comes to investing, we'll always bring something to the table. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.